I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm gonna have to take my time finding out how all the other weird things in this place cook up. Smells like corn.
Oh, he swore. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Core. It's Heroes of the Storm time. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we're back after a week off. Bo moved, and my servers got hacked. So that was reason enough not to have a show last week, but also there wasn't a ton of stuff. The ton of stuff would come right after we did a show, or would have done a show. So either way, today's the day we get to talk about wrestlers and things like that. So that's all coming up. But before we get too far, fellas, got an admission to make here. The just playing Deckard Cain in Heroes of the Storm and hearing him drop vials of health, that sound it makes, right? And him hearthing back to the Nexus and hopping into his little portal to do it. That was enough for me to get an itch to play Diablo again. And so I kind of dive back into Diablo with a couple of very specific goals. One is to play with my kids a bunch because they're all into it right now. But also, I'm going to fill my entire Kanai's cube with every possible legendary ability. And that's my goal right now. So thanks, Deckard Cain. You drug me back in, you bastard, you old coot. I've been enjoying it. Has this had this effect on anyone but me?
I mean, the bottle sound definitely made me nostalgic, for sure. It's my favorite part.
Yeah.
It's like that reminder to use the spell, because you're like, I would like to hear that sound right now.
Yeah.
I can do it whenever I want on a slight cooldown. But I was thinking about it as you were saying this, and you know how, like, Smash Brothers back in the day would let you play through a weird version of Mario 1-1 as, like, the characters from Smash Brothers.
Yeah, GameCube version had this weird single-player element thing going on in it.
I'm right now picturing what it would be like to go through Diablo-style campaign with the Heroes roster.
That's not bad. You know, you can kind of do a similar thing. There's this weird StarCraft 2 mod that I played for a minute. Only a minute because I didn't have time. Something Tristram something. But it's basically the entirety of Diablo 2 recreated in the StarCraft II arcade mode. And when you hear that, you go, psh, I've seen that stuff. No way this is any good, right? Like, no way this is even close to that experience. Whatever. That's what most people would say. I hopped in and played it. It is shockingly accurate to the gameplay of Diablo 2. It's really weird, actually. They have all the classes in there, all the abilities in there.
Multiplayer work in there?
Yeah, yeah. You can have more people in there. We should totally try this. It's free.
Yeah.
It's still in beta, but it's in there. And it's worth doing maybe as a stream or something because it's freaking weird. Really weird. And you're running around and you're seeing like, you know, like the starting zone is there's that old guy you got to talk to who for some reason in this has the voice of Uther. Maybe he always did. I don't know. But you talk to him and he says, don't forget to talk to what's her name over there. And you go talk to her. Like that whole beginning start of Diablo 2 is all exactly the way you remember it. And then you go out and fight stuff and it's for real. Like it's Diablo. I don't know how they did it. It's crazy to me. Kind of thing blows my mind. But anyway, the point
obviously is obviously a lot of work.
Yeah. Tons of work. And then there's this, you know, teaser going around with a four horned goat that you can get in Diablo or in World of Warcraft. And it's clearly a Diablo inspired goat. And it's got kind of a Diablo logo, except it kind of makes a four. But even if that's not enough for you, the thing's got four big Diablo horns on his head. I mean, duh. Of course we're getting Diablo 4 announced this year. I'm telling you right now, mark my words, this is happening. I guarantee it.
Oh, is this a thing?
Yeah. Oh, it's totally a thing. Totally a thing.
Not since last BlizzCon opened with a pair of dice on the number four have people read so much into a thing. But yeah. No, I agree. It is definitely a Diablo goat. You look at that goat and you go, that's a Diablo goat right there.
Yeah, there's no way. So unless they're just jacking with us, this is absolutely a hint. And so I'm so jazzed and fired up for it. I get into Heroes and play some games and all, and I'm just hearing all these Diablo sounds. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to go back. So that's what I've been doing. Been playing a little Diablo. I just want to throw that out there. Sometimes that game gets you in there. And I'll tell you what, go in there and just fiddle. Like realize, like go into your bags and go, what stuff do I actually have? I realized I had a bunch of sets I didn't know I had. So I was like, oh, I have a complete set to do this ice build I want to do with my wizard. I'm going to do that. And immediately I'm like, let's bump things up three torment levels out of nowhere because suddenly this ice build is so good. Like, weird stuff like that. It's great. That game's great. There's nothing wrong with Diablo 3. I really want Diablo 4. And Deckard Cain remains a rad character.
The only problem with Diablo 3 is I've played it so much. Give me Diablo 4.
I know.
Do something.
It is time. It is time. We need, you know, a new game would be great, but the loop right now is satisfying and I'm enjoying it, even though I really should be finishing God of War, but freaking Diablo keeps sucking me back in. Nonetheless, and notwithstanding, this week has been one heck of a week for Heroes of the Storm, or since last we spoke. There was a promo that came out with a video titled Nexus Mania. Straight up wrestling is what this is about. It's basically a skin thing, you know.
Is it like Nexus Mania or is it Nexus Mania?
I don't know. It's a good point. Secret ingredient. So what's your
not the language, but well done.
Do you guys have any initial thoughts on this weirdness? Because it kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, I didn't expect a wrestling themed event.
So I'm kind of not into wrestling.
Yeah,
but I'm into this. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not into wrestling at all.
That's so my initial reaction was like, yay wrestling. But I was like, oh sweet, the skins look awesome. And yeah, I mean the Karazim skin by far, it's kind of buried in there, but it's the best part of what's coming.
It's the first thing Bo said on Slack. He's like, amazing. We got to get that Karazim skin because how dumb would it be if you didn't get it? I agree. But John, you're more of a wrestling fan than we are. What do you think of this business?
I am. I'm a big wrestling fan, and I was very excited for it. This just seems fitting. I mean, that to me, that was always Diablo's thing, is he always was just like charge in and grab you and flip you over his head and knock you back someplace and be a big bully, and I think they picked some really good characters to give wrestling skins to that really fit with what they do. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of a logical direction to take it. You know, they could have gone back to the well and said, okay, well, now we put so-and-so in a Speedo this year because that's what we're going to do. But I like that they changed it up. They were like, hey, what else can we do? What cool theme can we do? And we got a big lore drop from the last set of skins and all of that. And I like that they're putting something out like this that kind of says, hey, we're not done with crazy weird either. There's also apparently a realm in the Nexus where people are just way into luchador style wrestling.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this should be a realm, right? Like, like, because there's a little bit more here than there was for the Nexus Ravenlord business. This is like all in. Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
Event stuff is supposed to be like that, but why not make it a weird wrestling realm where instead of Azeroth, it's WrestleRoth?
Even when they show WrestleRoth. I like it. When they show the characters all standing around at the end of the promo video and they turn on the black lights, basically, and they all become kind of glowy. You think there's anything there in the game?
That's an Overwatch thing. Isn't it the Dia de los Muertos gang? Like it's totally. It's the Overwatch like deal.
Yeah, and it's like luchador-y stuff and all that, which is great, but I kind of want a moment in the game where that might happen. Like maybe when you have to get the seeds. Harvest my seeds! And the sun goes down and everybody turns a little glowy. That'd be cool.
That was asked in the AMA thing, I think. Mm. I thought I saw a question somewhere.
Oh, someone asked? Oh, all right.
Some or maybe it's just a Reddit thread, and it's like I don't think they really glow. There's no real, like, even because it's not really dark in Garden of Terror, it's just palette changes, kind of.
Right.
There is a color variation that highlights those a bit more. So I think they're doing a little video trickery where they're showing you the like less accented version, and then they make everything go dark, and then they put up the accented version of the skins, and it looks like they're glowing in black light.
Gotcha.
So you can get close, but they're not exactly glowing in the dark either.
All right. Well, I had my heart set on glowing in the dark. Yes, Bo.
I was a little bit they showed all the heroes getting skins. Like, okay, yeah, makes sense. But I was kind of like, why on Lunara? I didn't get that one.
I noticed that too.
Everyone else is like, yeah, everything, every other hero picked in the Mariachi TC makes sense. But I was like, what?
She like, does cool flips.
Yeah.
Whoa. Shit. When I saw Lunara, so it's like, but you know, I'm not mad about it. I just thought it was weird.
That's yeah, all. It is a little bit weird. So here's your full lineup. You got the how do you say the Diablo one? El Chamuco Diablo. He looks pretty cool. You got El Mariachi ETC. You got El Jefe Garage. Best part about him is his axe turns into a chair, a folding chair.
That's He's also got a Hefe chain, which is a pretty good part of it.
Yeah,
too.
It's pretty good. Dropkick Karazim. That's a must have. Got to get it. Little punching, little karate looking guy. It's awesome. La Parsa Lunara. Whatever. She's fine.
Wow, you guys are just really going hard on the Lunara. I think it's a cool skin.
It's a cool skin.
Doesn't look like a wrestler.
Yeah, that's my thing too.
It looks great. Yeah. It's cool. Happy to have a Lunara skin. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think she's fine, and the skin looks fine. It just doesn't feel like a wrestler in this.
They're like, what do we need for this event? And they've got a list. They look at Sonya, they look at Lunara, and they look over at Zarya. And they look back at Lunara and they're like, that one.
Look, there's characters in wrestling. The Undertaker, he's not, spoilers, he's not really an Undertaker. He's a wrestler.
Right, but he's also 6'7" and kind of looming.
The gimmick is fine. It's the dainty horse lady. Like, what wrestling move does she do? Like,
she does a giant flip.
Yeah.
I'm with Bo on this one. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough.
There's a rationale for everything. It's the Nexus. You could make a wrestling skin for any hero. Let's be honest. It's fine.
The answer is you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, she may surprise me. We'll see. Not really a big Lunara fan anyway, so it's not that big a deal.
And as I said at the top, not a wrestling fan. So I saw comments like, hey, it says like Marius on the Diablo skin or something. People are like, yeah, thumbs up. And I'm like, okay, it's not.
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
That's a thing. I don't know.
There's a big heart on Diablo's arm with Marius written on it.
What is that supposed to be?
I don't know why he's so into Marius.
What's Marius?
That's the old man. Remember the guy who was the Wanderer?
Oh, right.
Was the Wanderer. What? That guy.
Wait, why would he have his... Okay, I better not ask. It's better not to ask.
He's into it.
Okay.
Oh, it's not a wrestling thing?
No.
It's a Diablo reference?
It's the reference to Diablo 2. Yeah, it's the Wanderer guy.
That flew over my head. I'm like, which wrestler is Marius? I've heard of like Shamrock Pete. What's that guy's name? I don't know.
Shamrock Pete.
I've heard of The Undertaker. I know Goldberg's a thing. Of course, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
Yeah, he almost said Randy Travis.
When I was a kid, I watched it. He used to like Big Boss Man because he'd handcuff people to the rope and beat them, and I thought that was hilarious.
You're doing pretty good at naming wrestlers, but I am confused as to why you started with Shamrock Pete, which is
not... Well, there's a Shamrock guy now. I just see him every now and then. It's like his big thing is he's Irish, and I'm like...
Is that a guy? Is that a wrestler guy?
So dumb.
There was a guy named Ken Shamrock, and the guy I think Bo's talking about is a guy named Sheamus, but yeah.
Sheamus is Shamrock Pete. Got it.
Yeah, Sheamus is Shamrock.
Great.
Anyways, but you know, I used to watch it as a kid. I also remember Brutus the Barber Beefcake. That guy was hilarious. I'm like, why is... Even as a kid, I was like, this is a wrestler? I hate this. And I always thought Bad News Brown was pretty racist.
Bad News Brown? Is that a thing? I don't know who that is.
His name Bad News Brown? I'm just like...
I don't know that one.
Might be before John's time or something.
Maybe.
John, what's your heyday? like late 90s, early aughts sort of wrestling era?
Yeah, I watched it a lot when I was really little. You know, Hogan and Andre the Giant and all of that. But I can't remember a ton of that stuff. Because I was very little, then I took a break, and then I got back into it around the Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and all that sort of stuff. So.
You know what's great? The chat room's freaking out because we're talking about wrestling stuff they know that we don't. That's the best.
Again, just because it's not for me doesn't make it a bad thing. I'm just like, you know, it's good. Everything looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks great, and they've gone all out.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I love the color palette. I love those chests. The chests you're going to open are totally cool. That pug with the luchador mask on, I will own that damn thing. I guarantee it. I don't know how I'm getting it, but I'll own it. Got to buy some kind of bundle.
It's a chihuahua, though.
What do I call it? A pug?
Yeah.
Oh, I meant.
Whatever. I should have let it slide.
Is that racist for dogs if I mix up their breeds?
I think so. They'll write emails, Scott. You don't want emails.
There's also a pignata.
Yeah. A pignata. Sorry, that makes me laugh for some reason. It's so dumb. All right. Anyway, it's all good. La Pantera Sonia, which is where I always get my smothered burritos. I love going to La Pantera Sonia.
Weren't they a heavy metal band?
Spanish cover version of Pantera. Anyway, you got the Lucha Hoo-Hoo-Ha-Ha, however you say it, Pinata.
Chihuahua.
Lucha
Chihuahua.
Lu-Hawawa.
I'm losing it.
It does look like... It looks like if you could write pain, the feeling of pain in word form, that's what that looks like.
Oh.
What I like is Scott looked at it, and I feel like his brain went too many letters, start to say it, and then end saying it and leave the rest out.
You're not
Lou Hawawa.
Yeah, you're pretty much right. The new announcer is El Guapo, and I don't know what his deal is, except he'll announce, he can be your announcer. He's your announcer. You can get a new announcer. That's
apparently there were people who knew was asking, like, is it this person? I don't know, like Rudy, somebody. And they're like, yeah, it's him. So it's like a real deal voice announcer. But again, I'm just like, huh?
Oh, really? There's somebody named Rudy. Rudy.
Wait a second.
I would trust Bo saying Rudy as much as his.
As
Kevin
me saying,
Shamrock or whatever it is, Shamrock Jake.
Lucha, hoo hoo ha ha.
All right.
Well, Bo will look that up. You also get the Nexomania loot chest, which I mentioned a second ago, and last year's Suns Out, Guns Out themed items are available in these chests, so you have a chance at those again. Okay. And I'm glad they're not just going, here's the next summer event, and it's the same as last year, enjoy. Really glad they're not doing that. As much as I like those items, and I wouldn't mind finally getting a couple of variants on the surfboards and stuff. I don't want to do the same exact event. I think that's lazy. And they're not, so I don't know why I'm bringing it up. Yes, Bo. What now? What'd you find out?
So like, this is the comment I read. It was like, can you confirm if El Guapo is Arturo Rivera? He's a legend in Mexico, or Mexico, and El Guapo sounds identical to him.
And it's him.
Blizz Kina says, the one of the same, Legendario. Everyone's like, yeah. So I'm like, oh.
But see, I don't know. I barely know anything about American pro wrestling. I've known nothing about international stuff. Like, there's a big scene in Japan I know nothing about. The luchador stuff I only know is cool, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. But I Googled it, and then I just found, like, an artist. So I don't even know. Anyways.
Yeah.
The extent, but it's cool. I like it.
It's bad to say that the extent of my knowledge of luchador wrestling comes from that Jack Black movie. What is it?
Is it Nacho Libre?
Nacho Libre. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not.
I've never seen
it. You've never seen it? It's a great little time. It's a good time. Watch it.
Put that on my list.
It's kind of a sweet little movie. It's all right.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, let's see. You got some quests. Choose Team Lunara or Team Sonya and complete a quest chain to earn portrait sprays and the El Guapo announcer for free.
I guess we know what team you bellyachers are going to be on.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, probably so, yeah. The purple's nice, though. So they had their color themed. I kind of like purple.
All right, we're winning Bo over. We're winning him over.
Yeah, he's winning him over. I can't help but think, though, given that this is such a weird departure from the usual events. You could say the summer stuff was, too, but not really. Summer, everybody's got to get in the pool. This just feels like a really out of left field kind of move. I wonder what it would be like if, let's say, somebody was serving for the North or the South in the American Civil War and had to write home about what they were seeing. Let's check in and find out.
My dearest Martha, today has been a fantastic day. Today, a new, bright, colorful group of beings have joined us here in the I've never been more excited. Why, there's this one dear lady, and she walked up and bashed a... I don't want to say that. Bashed a man over the head with a chair. Martha, it's incredibly fun, but I'm beginning to think it's staged. Earlier, El Jefe Garage went to throw somebody and didn't even touch him. The man still fell over. It's kind of shattered my illusions, Martha. I'm in distress. So, I take my leave from you and this letter to wander out in the battlefield and inform everybody I know every time they mention wrestling that it is not real. Yours in this life and the next, Way Into Wrestling 93.
Yeah, the best.
Thank you for your backup, Foley Work.
Yeah, that was good. I was going to say, Foley Work, it wasn't expected. It's very nice.
I'm learning a lot from Scott on There Will Be Dungeons.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got to make me digging through a Cyclops' crotch as real as possible. It's hard.
It really enhances the experience.
It really does. Let's keep moving here. What else we got? Hey, Season 3 2018 updates announced. Delayed season start on July 9th. Ooh. All right, here's what they're doing.
Was that sarcasm?
No, I think I'm just, you know, we had this, I feel like I'm having deja vu, because this is the same feeling I had when they were about to do the big performance-based ranking stuff, right? Yeah. So when that was about to hit, it was like, oh, dude, we got so excited. And then it hit, and it was all busted. And they went, all right, yoink, and they took it out again. And now I feel like I'm getting into that hype space again. But there's a part of me that's like, don't get too excited because they, you know, maybe not. And the fact that they delayed it is probably actually a good sign. It means they're taking their time. They want to make sure everything's cool. However.
So yeah. the stuff that's here, performance-based matchmaking is still coming.
But yeah, it's still coming.
The stuff that's here is I think a few weeks ago, they just came out, you know, and said and addressed some player concerns that were hot topics that seemed to be going nowhere. They did that big blog post.
Mm-hmm.
So this is them step one, making good on some of those things.
So okay.
Basically, yeah, I think you're right to be like, I don't know. We had that thing pulled, but I think on the balance of it, stuff gets launched and it's, it works out okay. So
yeah, I'll be all right with it. They've added they're adding a third band to the draft, so that's happening. We knew that was happening. Yeah. That's not in now though, right?
This confirmed. It's confirmed on July. Like they've set at this date of all right. the things. It's not everything they discussed, but you know, it's the first step. These things are coming July 9th. And they made a big point of writing a long blog post. Again, to continue the conversation and transparency with where the game's going.
So we got,
and is it confirmed that it's at the start of the draft?
Yes, and that was the big thing is they announced putting it mid-draft, but based on feedback, they put it at the start of the draft. So there were some changes and things taking player feedback into consideration, this being, I think, the biggest one. So
okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Third band added to the draft. Sweet. We're also introducing both matchmaking rating, or MMR, and rank decay for inactive Diamond, which is 20 days. Master 15 days, Grandmaster 10 days. This is important, of course, for Hero League players. We knew that was coming, but I don't know if we ever heard about the days, like how long the inactivity would kick in the decay.
The information is a little more specific, and what players are affected are more specific. So if you're plat or lower, you don't have to worry about MMR or rank decay.
Okay.
So basically, plat is the uppermost casual ranking. Everything after that, you better be logging in on a regular basis and playing your game.
Okay, well, that's good for me, because I'm not any of that. So
you've leveled up to having a job. Yeah. Congratulations.
It's like, and I've been there too. You can rank up to Diamond and just squat there indefinitely, you know, until you have to do placements and then get placed back in the plat, which will happen to me. But you know,
right?
It can happen that people don't play for long periods of time and they come back to the game and they're not at the Diamond level currently, and so people who compete, it's important to them.
All right,
and I think that's. I think it looks good. Yeah.
Players who enter ranked play for the first time can no longer be seeded in placement matches higher than gold 5. Praise be, we say.
Praise right? be. Yeah. Praise be.
Praise be. Oh, are you watching?
There's nothing worse than the guy who's playing 50 games and he's like higher ranked than you, and it's just like going badly, and you're getting he's high horsing you, and it's just like, please don't, please stop, please stop.
Yep.
Well, as a Diamond player, you look him up. He's got 10 games. They've been a very good 10 games.
Yeah. Best games anyone ever had ever.
It makes, if you've placed high above there, it gives it value because everything is earned. And I think that's important. Even if it's just plat 2, if you earn plat 2, that means something. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I agree. Players who return to Hero League after an extended break will no longer be reseeded in placements based on their performance in other modes. Example, you can't take a 6-month break from ranked, grind up to 90% win rate in unranked modes, and have the placement system use that info to place you higher than you were. So no,
that was previously possible. You could just play the other modes, and then the next season place higher because your MMR from No Life in Genji for 6 months has decided, the game decides you're a better player than you actually are in rank.
Right.
And I mean, there's a level you can understand. A level of logic to it. If somebody says, you know what, ranked isn't where I want it to be, I'm not going to play it, but they continue to play in other modes, they're in theory getting better at the game, so maybe that is something to take into consideration. But at the same time, it's not one for one. Like the knowledge you're using and the skills you're using in unranked or quick match are definitely not the same as what you would take into Hero League.
It does feel like one of those things, though, that a lot of players probably assumed the game wasn't doing, and them saying we're no longer doing that is what informed them that it was possible to do. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, but I mean, I think that was a thing. Like, you could 5-stack any way you want with all your friends in a ranked mode, right, in an unranked mode, and then have that, you know, boost up your MMR, fine, whatever, but in the solo queue, or in team league, like that needs to be adjusted because there's, you know, it's just unfair, I think.
It's a whole other.
Not everyone's doing that.
Yeah, it's a whole other bag of potatoes in there, as the kids say, in 2018.
Yep. Can't find a kid on the street not talking about bags of potatoes.
Oh, every corner you go to, they're like, it's Snapchat. What's the deal with Kanye and bag of potatoes?
And top of the morning to you, sir. Can I trouble you for a penny so I can go pick up a bag of potatoes at the corner mart?
See? Look, you're in it. You're in with the kids.
I'm down there with the people. Yeah. I'm mingling.
You're with the youth. I like it. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, matchmaking rules in ranked will enforce higher quality matches over reduced queue times. They've mentioned this before. This is only in ranked for now, but will be added to quick match and such down the road. I'm looking forward to it being kind of across the board because I think Bo said this once, and maybe we can just address it again real quick. For some people and for a lot of players, new and old, their main way of playing this game is to get in and play some quick matches and have three or four of those and have a good time and get out. That's what they're going to do on their average play time, and they may do some other hardcore stuff later, but for now, just want to get in and play some games, and that's good. It would be nice if that kind of thinking was across the board, and it will be, but I kind of wish it was happening at the same time, because higher quality matches matter everywhere, not just ranks. No. So, yeah.
Agree 100%.
Yeah. I feel like we had a big talk about that, but
we did. I mean, it's almost like we're covering stuff that we would have talked about a few weeks ago. It's just these are the commitments to what's coming from that talk
now. Yeah. They've locked it in. So these are not the end-all be-alls. They've got other stuff planned. Performance-based matchmaking is still part of the future roadmap. So you can expect more than this, maybe even more than this by the 9th. We don't know, but this is the stuff they're absolutely committed to by July 9th, so that's good. And then that season starts on that day as well, so there you go. I think it's dangerous, though. Like, why can't some of this stuff put some of this stuff in June, as an example. Still have your delayed date for the start of the season, that's fine, but wouldn't it be better to put a bunch of this stuff in, get your real-world testing going, so that by the 9th you don't have any big surprises? This seems like you're coinciding these changes with the launch of a new season, is just asking for, I don't know, it seems like you're just asking for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you once again, like when they launched performance-based matchmaking, you're setting a date where a bunch of stuff could go wrong, and then everybody blames the new stuff, even if it's not necessarily the new stuff's fault. Right. But at the same time, you know, people who are very competitive and in the rank scene can get a little fickle about their situation changing in the middle of a season as opposed to at the beginning of one.
Right.
I think this is limited because everything they introduced requires post-launch work to fix.
Mm.
So if they launch everything, then it's a monumental task.
Yeah.
Just guessing, though.
Well, I mean, it's a video game. This is video games in general, right? It's not even like a Heroes problem. Like game devs have this problem no matter what they do or how they release things. Oh, did you guys hear that Battle Right game? And John and I played a bunch of it. This is like a little arena fighter thing, kind of half MOBA, half like World of Warcraft arena style game. Fun little game, cool game, has a pretty good following. They're doing some esports stuff. They announced a freaking Battle Royale version of that game.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's insane.
They might have been listening. Were they listening to our show? We were like, just give me 100 Junkrats in a
map. They're like, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
they'll never do it. We'll do it.
It seems nuts, but I actually kind of am seriously interested in what that plays like. So
sure. We have it, right?
Yeah.
Like, aren't we going to get grandfathered into all that because we supported them early?
Yeah, the early support gave you every hero and every content update in perpetuity. Oh, nice. Yeah. So I don't think, and in fact, as far as I know, that Battle Royale system is to whoever has the game. Yeah, I think the free-to-play people get it too. It's just a new mode, but we got to try that out because that's nuts. And I know everyone's trying to get in on that, but I'm genuinely curious about weird implementations that aren't shooters. Like, there's this mobile game where you're a Viking and you run around throwing axes at people. That's it. So you get in, there's an axe in the ground, you yank it up, you run over to a dude, you kind of scoot around him, try to dodge his thing. You hold up a shield if you have one, that'll take a hit, and then you lose the shield, and then boom, right in his kisser, he's dead. And then it's the one last guy standing after 100 of you go at it. It's kind of awesome. It doesn't have to be first-person, third-person shooters. It can be these other things, and I think, I don't know, I'm not saying Blizzard needs to, I'm just saying, you know, I wouldn't mind playing some.
Blizzard. I'm holding out for 100 dodgeball players get dropped on an island with a lot of dodgeballs.
That's kind of what this axe thing is, actually. It's basically
that's
that.
What made me think of it. I'm holding out for an idea that I had 2 seconds ago.
Because you just pick them up. In fact, I kind of wish it was more themed the way you're describing it. Because it would be, you know, I don't need more axes and more stuff like that. Although it is kind of satisfyingly bloody. But I'm into this stuff, man. I know everyone's doing a Me Too right now with the whole Battle Royale deal, but keep it coming, man. Hunter Junkrat's
Enter. They got our first movie based on this video game.
Just to bring it all back around.
Starring The Rock.
I'd watch that. I would put that in the screen and view it.
I mean, we laugh, but apparently Rampage was good. That's what I heard.
I heard it was terrible. Really? Did you hear it was good?
I heard it was surprisingly likable.
Really? Like,
yeah.
Like
look, the bar was low and they passed the low bar. But
you know, that hot property Rampage.
Yeah.
like what?
Yeah. Gamers were just waiting, man. They were just waiting. Well, all right then. So there's that. Where was I? Oh, let's talk about these reworks. Diablo and Lunara. Yeah. Big hero updates. All right, John, you're a Diablo man.
Yes,
it seems crazy what he's doing now. Like his weird thing he's doing with his thunder fire stomp thing, and being able to control kind of where that goes and stuff is super different than what I'm used to with him. So why don't you explain what his changes are and why you may or may not like them?
So I am perhaps naively optimistic about it. There is a part of me that feels like when you watch the Diablo video, they're showing you a lot of flashy things. And there's a skeptical part of my brain that when a company shows you a bunch of flashy things, I go, oh, I'm being tricked. This is the trick. They're showing me that Diablo is this mad powerhouse that can dash and shoot fire all over the place. Therefore, he must be awful now. Because they wouldn't be trying so hard otherwise. And I don't know if that's ultimately going to be true, but they did change his big talent. I mean, basically what has made him such a powerhouse right now, and I can't remember the name of the talent off the top of my head if one of you wants to look at it or know.
The percentage-based charge into walls?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was brought up in the AMA earlier today, too.
That's kind of the ability that's allowed him to be the crazy stomp hero that he has been as of late. Because if you have a bunch of heavy, strong frontline tanks, he can just delete them. That's super good. It's a one-thing gimmick, so I do appreciate them coming in and saying, well, let's see if we can make him better at multiple things. But with that gone, there's always the risk that, hey, we removed the one thing he was really good at. Did we give him enough to make him interesting outside of that, or did we just kill the character?
Right.
So, I don't know. I have not tried new Diablo yet.
The talent is called Devastating Charge.
Mm. That's one.
And instead of doing percentage-based damage, it'll increase your collision damage by 100%.
So it's just flat damage, though. I mean, it increases it.
There's a quest to increase it from 100 to 175%, basically.
Right.
I mean, it's not percentage-based damage, but what they said in the AMA today is that they feel the damage is still there. It just looks different. But, I mean, we'll see it in practice, whether it feels like he's a house. Because there's some interesting stuff going on with them. The fire stomp is no longer in a flower. Mm-hmm. It's in a cone.
Yeah.
And it looks like it has some potential for burst. Like it does triple damage on its way back. So it's like this reverse shotgun effect. Like if you get all the pellets, you'll do a lot of damage to someone. It looks like,
yeah,
but as you said in the video, videos often make things look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the videos they'll show, you know, on a shooter sleep dart and five people die from it. It's not always the most, reliable, source of information as far as how much damage does. I mean, I think them saying like they feel the damage is still there, the only reason I don't like that is it's not, though. It is for weaker characters, but that's not where the damage was useful before. The damage was useful against the big bruisers and tanks before with a lot of HP. By just making it do more flat damage, he now is more powerful against characters that he can hit that have fewer hit points, but he's not going to make the same kind of dent in a Cho'Gall or an ETC.
Right.
So like that's something that's like a big flashing, you know, uh-oh, I don't like this. But something that I do find interesting is that his shadow charge has a movement speed increase after you charge, but you get your movement speed. So, you know, sometimes you charge and try to overpower, but you just can't. They just move that one pixel away from your range to grab and you can't get them.
Yeah.
So having this baked in baseline means you will probably catch up and secure more overpowers. And I think the charge overpower charge is still a thing, right? That's still in here.
It definitely looks like it. It looks like he's going to be even more reset based because it looks like they're also adding a talent that resets his fire stomps as well. So, I mean, okay. All that's cool. I think he's going to be a more fun hero to play. It's just the thing I'm not sure about is, will he be a more viable hero to play? Or just as viable a hero to play?
Right. Now, in comparison, the Lunara updates, how do you feel about those? They seem a little more subtle. They're not quite as in your face. It's a little more math.
Yeah, Diablo's got the big talent rework, but it's more for Lunara. It's like, it seems kind of targeted to specific things, like making Wisp seem like a cooler thing to do. So it's going to have the movement speed baked in from level 4. It's going to have a reduced vision radius, but then when you put it in the bush, it'll actually have a 75% increased radius.
Yeah, it keeps going. It says up to 200% in the talent.
That's if you take the level 1 talent.
Yeah, if you take the
75
talent.
Baseline, 200% with Sentinel Wisp.
So it's got this overtime thing, something they seem to like a lot lately, I've noticed, just with new heroes and just other stuff. This idea that you do a thing that almost has its own cooldown, if that makes sense, or, you know, has to take time. I don't just mean wind-ups, but like plopping that Wisp down, it's like, okay, a little bit of vision, a little more vision, a little more vision. That's, I don't know, that seems in line with a lot of the stuff they're doing, a lot of the tricks they're pulling lately, which is cool. I think that's a nice little addition.
For Lunara, it's really the Wisp, and you know, there's a few talents here or there that are changed, but not in the same, not to the same extent that Diablo is the real star of the rework here.
Yeah,
like Lunara players will probably be happy, I think, with everything that they've shown with the Lunara changes. Because I mean, the W, I think you'll be able to have off cooldown more often. Yeah. With certain talents, like, it just looks like they're just leading into making her a little better, more responsive to play. I think there was a talent in there that lets your move speed increase to 30%. If you haven't taken any damage or basic attacks in 5 seconds. So now you can motor at proper mount speed around the map, which is also good.
And when she came out, one of the key things about her kit was this idea of spreading your poison onto multiple targets. And, you know, it is definitely something you can do, but as far as whether or not it feels like an important thing you should work towards, I'd say is a little debatable with her current kit. This feels like they're actually going to try to reward and encourage that a bit more, which is
Yeah, good. So like at level 13, for example, on the spores, casting it, well, at least two enemy heroes are afflicted with the toxin, reduces its cooldown by 3 seconds.
That's so significant.
Yeah, and it's just good. It just means the slows are pretty, can make pretty huge plays, actually, if you time them out correctly. And it's a long cooldown. I think it's 10 seconds. So the 3 seconds off will make a difference.
The other thing I was going to say about the Diablo Flame Stomp, which I forgot to say before, they've not only, like you said, when the flames go out, they do their damage. When they come back, it's 3 times the damage if you can hit somebody again. They are showing that with a visual. So when they go out, they're just like regular flame, and then they stop and go and like flame up and get like all purpley and white in the middle, like they're more powerful, and then they come back. I like when they do visual stuff like that to sort of approximate what you're getting out of it, so they're more powerful on the way back.
Speaking of cool visuals too, and I don't think this went super noticed, but Lightning Breath is getting a range increase. It's already a huge increase, plus you're unstoppable. So it's going from 10.5 to 12. But also, it's going to slow enemies by 5% for every 2 seconds.
Oh, man.
Up to a max. Or no. Yeah, enemies hit by 5% for 2 seconds, up to a maximum of 50%.
Wow. That's
so I'm not sure if that's over each tick. Oh, yeah, each tick. Okay, I'm not sure what the rate of ticks are. Let's say once per second. And it's a pretty long duration. Like, it could be in a big team fight, because right now, Apocalypse is the right thing to pick most of the time. But this has huge implications for just freezing out Scrum with the breath. And because you're unstoppable, it's an ult that can't be canceled or really countered at all, and cleanses like out of the game. Like, how, you know, this could potentially be pretty huge. So I'm actually kind of excited for the Lightning Breath, and just making it bigger is, it's one of the coolest looking ultimates in the game still.
Yeah.
So I'm into it.
I'm into that one as well. That's cool. Well, there you go. Big changes coming to Diablo. Some changes coming to Lunara. They're on the PTR now and likely on the public realm next week. There's also a huge balance update. We're just going to talk about some highlights. If you want to read the patch notes and get all the details, you certainly can. These came out on the 9th. There are some Kael'thas changes. Had a bunch. Here are the highlights. Level 16 new talent. Call it Ignite. This affects his Q. Flame strikes that hit enemies now afflict them with living bomb. Just heroes, not minions. Only one living bomb can be applied per flame strike cast. So if you were in a group of, four of the opposing team, and you get them all in a flame strike, one of them, I assume randomly, will walk out of there with a living bomb. And potentially spread it if he doesn't get away from his friends.
Yeah, it's like an extra living bomb. So you still have your living bomb, potentially two with a free cast. But if you hit someone, it's just another living bomb. It's just more living bombs, and it's really cool.
If I went back 2 years, Bo, and said to you, hey, guess what? I hear they're going to give Kael'thas an extra living bomb. You would have laughed at me. Like, this would have been ridiculous.
This is out of left field and not expected.
I'd say it depends on how far back, because he's actually had this talent before.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, I don't remember that. When was that? When was this?
In fact, it got removed because it's what made him ridiculously overpowered in the past. because it applied Living Bomb, I believe, to everybody that was caught in it.
Oh.
And if they already had Living Bomb, it detonated, which would then cause it to spread, because if it spreads and they already have a bomb, it detonates the bomb.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what's out, is if living bomb can't spread. It used to, if you had a living bomb and your neighbor had a living bomb and yours exploded first onto your friend, it would trigger the damage, the end of damage explosion, mm-hmm. and give him a new one. But now if somebody has one, it won't stack anymore. It'll just ignore it. So there's like a limited viability to it, I suppose. Like, it's sort of contained, the virus. Right. But there is a level 20 that lets them spread indefinitely. So, I mean, because also the way it works is, I don't think you can be hit by the same living bomb stack as well. If that makes any sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it is different. So maybe that this is less of an issue now than before. But
yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, how many years ago was that?
This was like the first major change for Kael'thas. Like, I think it got identified pretty quick. Because it's what I don't know if you remember the old strategy where you would throw it on lane minions.
And
as soon as a hero walked into it,
you would throw a second one on it.
Yes, and then it would explode. For every minion that was in the cluster, it would explode. And it was an insane amount of damage. So it was like one of his first major changes back when he first got put in the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
It's back. I actually haven't played with it yet, and I played a Kael'thas game. But I still like Flame Strike Explodes twice, because there's always that one guy who doesn't, on the enemy team, who doesn't pay attention to talents, and you throw out the Q and they dodge it and they feel proud of themselves and they walk into the second one and they're like, yes. So it's pretty good talent.
It sounds like fun to try them out. Maybe we'll have to see how it is. Level 20 presence of mind is changed. New functionality. Heroes who are hit by flame strike or have living bomb spread to them reduce the cooldown of pyroblast by 10 seconds. So you're getting a benefit to your
Excited about this one, because, you know, I'm a pyroblast taker and I earn the ire of some people when I do things like that. Overall, I do pretty well with it. But level 20 sucked.
Yeah,
it was always take the extended range on the flame strike. So this, I found this really interesting, because I think if I can, you know, shoot pyroblasts really quickly and have that cooldown be super reduced, oh yay, they blocked it with ice block. Well, I've got another pyro. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing if this can be a thing or not.
Sure. At 20. I like changes that, change things like level 20 has terrible choices. I hate that in any character. Like, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I can't stand the ones where you get to 20 or just like, well, I guess I'm taking me. Like, I hate that. So
it's always like Storm Shield for me. I'm like, Storm Shield's good, but I'm like, it's Storm Shield.
It's boring.
It's like, yeah, you got some white stuff on your health bar now. I don't know. It's
I'm going to wipe that off.
For 20. It's really powerful.
Anna got some changes. The highlight is her Shrike, her trait, the thing she has as her trait, now heals Anna for a dose of damage dealt to all enemies rather than only the damage dealt to heroes. So yes. A little more self-heal for your favorite healer there, Bo.
I've played her in a few quick match games, and she feels super powerful. And in fact, John played in one where I swear to God, his Raynor was like on the brink of death for like 20 seconds straight a lot of the time. And I was able to keep it up. Post like 16, she's a monster with healing. And here's another little note, too. They took that talent I kept having to take at level 1, detachable machine box.
Mm-hmm.
No, detachable ammo box, something like that. It's a detachable. And its first quest reward gave an extra 50% of dose damage. And I always want to live the DPS dream on Ana whenever I play her. They just took that part out. That tempting, like, it's like, oh, Bo can't help but pick this. And we know it's, so let's get rid of it. And now I take good talent at level 1. It's helpful because I'm not, like, tempted by any damage-oriented stuff. And having the dose heal on everything just means she is feeling more survivable. Like, if I get low, it used to be, well, I'm low, I back, or I just tempt fate. But now I can just shoot minions and stuff, and it's really, really good.
Yeah.
I like the idea that Bo is most excited about changes when they are saving him from himself. It's like,
yeah, that's
I can't help it. I picked the wrong talent every time, and they saved me.
It was honestly my favorite change of this patch was actually let me play Ana correctly.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, it's like having a doctor who can't prescribe, like, he can prescribe antibiotics to everybody and save the whole clinic. But when he gets the flu, they don't work on him. That's how she was before some of these changes. Just completely ridiculous how that works. Freaking turn that gun around and fire it in your own face and heal up, for heaven's sakes. Drives me nuts. All right. Let's talk about Gul'dan. I don't know what to make of any of this because I don't play him. So who wants to take the Gul'dan? Bo, you want to talk about him?
We can just cover really quickly because there's a few interesting changes here. And basically, it's like they took two talents at level 1 and pushed them together to make one talent.
Yeah.
Which is really great. It's Glyph of Drain Life and Chaotic Energy. And I find I take Drain Life quite a bit. But Chaotic Energy, I believe, is the mana cooldown reduction one, which I'm always super tempted by, but never actually end up taking. Yeah, that's the one. It reduces all mana costs. And as we know, Gul'dan, like, his stuff is his mana costs are artificially inflated because of his life tap, you know, dynamic.
Yeah.
Which you hate. Which
I hate it.
Were you guys talking about the instance that it's out of Warcraft now or somewhere? I think Warlocks don't life tap anymore.
They can, but I think there's a build. Now I forget. Wasn't there something?
I thought you guys were talking.
John, you might remember this, but there was something going on with Warcraft or with. Oh, what was that?
I'm leveling a warlock right now, and I've got it, but I don't need it.
I think it's in BFA. It's not in. It's not in the game right now.
Yeah, it's a Battle for Azeroth thing, but it's like one of the three builds or something is one without life tap at all, something like that.
Which is like, I'm like, can we revisit Gul'dan on this front?
Yeah,
but because his stuff is artificially expensive. If you actually hover over the mana cost, it's like 90 mana, the same ability on like Jaina is like 50 or something, you know, so it's a little weird.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's a quick aside. The other cool thing is that the Drain Life build is actually a lot of fun, putting that laser around everywhere. And so he has a talent at 4 that also, while it's active, in addition to what it does, reduces the cooldown by 100%.
Whoa.
It charges 100% faster while you're using it. Which seems fun. Anyway.
Yeah.
So if you get stunned out of it, then it's not good. So it gives it some counterplay, but I really like that talent.
Nice.
And the last thing I thought was cool was Curse of Exhaustion at level 7, which was added. This actually makes it so that if you hit somebody with Corruption, that's the 3 purple circles, then you cast Drain Life on them, you get increased damage and it slows the target. And it's kind of like that Stukov combo you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one with hand, booger. You booger them, and then you hand them, and you root them for a really long time. It's like 2.5 seconds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really strong talent, because you're silenced, and you're rooted. And when it happens to me, I'm like, ah! But it's kind of fun combo play that they put into Stukov, so they're putting that into Gul'dan, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I'm
down with that. I don't like your use of booger as a verb.
It's a booger. It's a booger. He's got a healing booger, and he's got a pus booger.
A damage booger. Yeah, there you go.
No, I understand the words. I don't appreciate it as a verb.
You just don't like it as a verb.
Like a Canadian? Is there?
No, he just means like if you've been boogered. Booger. Yeah, if you booger something.
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta go booger.
Yeah,
I think the British say like booger off, right?
Bugger off.
Booger off.
I think that's bugger off, I think is even worse thing, but I don't actually know.
They indicate it with their skeletal arms.
Oh,
have you ever baited Terpster to try to say skeletal or find out?
No, but I should.
We should make that a secret mission on the next instance.
He might be there Friday. Maybe I can squeeze that out of him.
Can you say, like, read this ability from Heroes of the Storm?
It'll be like
the time we used to call a coworker of mine. We just call him. We were at a different building. We'd call him up on the phone and just say, "Hey, what month is it?" Because we liked the way he said February.
Wait, how would he say it?
February.
February.
I like it. Hanzo is a butthole. Let's talk about him.
Basic attack range reduced from 7.5 to 6.5, which means he has the exact same attack range as Raynor.
Really?
Yeah.
This was asked for. People were complaining about his attack range. Again, it still makes Raynor's trait, which is that he has extra sight vision and extra attack range, seem dumb. But confirmation, I think, in the AMA that he's getting a new trait in the future. So we know for sure. And then his jump is a little, he won't be able to jump quite as far. It's still really far.
Yeah. It's reduced from 10 to 9. I don't think that's much of a reduction, but.
No, he's still annoying. He still shoots you from far away. And when you fight back, he goes, "But what if I was over here?"
I'm out.
He's gone. You just don't see him again for a while.
Yeah. This is all true. Tracer got recall destination is now visible to enemies, so they will know where that's going to be.
It's like False Sense Flight.
Don't like that at all.
Like, shoot your abilities here.
No, I don't like it. I don't understand why that's got to happen with her. That doesn't make sense to me. What are they trying to accomplish?
That the rest of us had to do. This is like when a dungeon in WoW gets made into easy mode.
This is part of the slow little ticks of nerfing they're doing to address mobility creep, which, you know, we had a pretty big complaint fest. I think we played against a team. Was it last night even, John?
Yeah.
Where every hero, it was a quick match game, but we had no mobility heroes and they had all the mobility heroes. So you'd be in a lane and there'd be nobody in there and you were kind of safe. And then blink, 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 blah, and it was like, this isn't fun. This is stupid, even for quick matches. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't like matches like that. Need those higher quality matches, slower queue times going there. Yeah. What else here? Oh, some other minor changes. Phoenix damage and mobility nerfs. I've heard about the Stukov thing. Nerfs to healing, mana efficiency, and cooldowns.
He's the top. Weird. He's perceived as the top hero in the AMA today. He's actually the lowest win rate according to the hero's devs.
Then why are they changing him if he sucks?
It's a good point. This is post-patch. So they changed it, and then his win rate went down.
Great.
The numbers were not previous. So.
They do this to me every time.
It's not down. It was like 48% or something. It's not that bad. People play Genji all the time, and his win rate is sub-50. If you're good at a hero, that number doesn't matter as much. You've got to adjust it for your play.
I know.
It's not a win rate under 50 doesn't always mean this hero's bad. It means a lot of people who suck at the hero play the hero. It can mean that too. That, you know, if somebody like Garrosh is super popular and a big boogeyman, and I looked up his rate on a particular map, it was sub-50%. And I'm like, why are we so scared of Garrosh? He doesn't win most of the time.
Right. But,
good players can make it sing.
But, like, one of the reasons I really like Stukov, like, really like him, is it's not true in the first a little bit of the match, but mid and late game, he is very mana efficient. And I really like that.
Do you take the mana reduction talent? I think it's one good spread.
Which one is it? I can't remember.
I'll look it up.
I don't think I even do. I think that's what I like about it is I don't feel forced to. Now I'm going to feel forced to take that talent. It's one good spread.
So one good spread would restore 30 mana if certain condition. If it spreads to two other heroes, I think.
Yeah, but that's...
refunds. So now instead of refunding 30 mana, it refunds 10.
Right.
That's a significant change.
Yeah.
I have two things on this.
Also nerf to healing. He did not need a nerf to healing. Go ahead.
Yeah, healing numbers are down.
The first thing is one good spread sounds like a bathroom cleanliness action. Second thing,
not what I would have said.
I think they allude to the fact that he's going to get additional changes coming up soon.
Yeah.
And it sounded like maybe in the buffs area or maybe in the changes type area. I think in the AMA, I think they alluded to it being kind of like something that they did with Ariel. Maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. I read it a few hours ago, so I've completely forgot.
So bring
Ariel had her some damage. Like she generates more hope from her self damage from 5 to 10% or something like that.
So they're gonna bring me low and then pump me back up. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I still don't like it. Bugs me. I'm not saying this is gonna happen, but my favorite healer is just about to enter a freaking Karazim zone here if they're not careful.
Karazim's good. Every time you say he's in that zone for you, but I still like him.
I gotta get
still seeing
him. We had a Karazim healer for a few of our games last night. It went all right.
Yeah.
You got to get used to it. It's not the consistent heal that you can find yourself expecting, but I think it went okay.
Yeah.
Gotta go palm. Right now, I'm liking the insight, Earther as spirit ally, and then you take the fart move speed, go palm, unless you really can use seven-sided, and take, this is where it's important, Fists of Fury at 13. Don't take you want as much uptime on Deadly Reach, and then double fart. Double fart changes the game at 16. Double fart's really good right now.
Really?
With insight build, with the cooldown reduction.
Yeah.
If you're in, you know, it's not every single match, but if you know you're getting enough of your punches in, I'm farting before the second fart comes off, so it's just like fartception, and I'm not done with the first fart, the second fart's pushing its way through, and it's great. So
fartception, I love it. Other changes to Deckard, Tychus, Thrall, Medivh, Maiev, Lili, Morales, Malfurion, Garrosh, Sonya, and Ariel all experience some changes, which you can find at heroesofthestorm.com in the patch notes. Okay, highlights from the Reddit Q&A that happened today. Did you listen to this whole thing, or I guess watch it?
Went through all the comments and just picked out the stuff that... Because there's a lot of great stuff. You should go read it for yourself. You know, we're not going to cover it word for word. But a lot of it's like, oh, tell me how you do the hero development process. And, you know, so I just picked it up for newsworthy or just interesting things in here. So,
sure.
But yeah, I read them all before the show.
Let's talk about roles and tags. They say they're in the works. Examples. Roles currently being considered are tanks, bruisers, melee assassins, ranged assassins, support, and healers. Tags would further refine specific categories. Multi-class would be removed as a category in the future. Not happy with that, are they?
Well, they just don't. I think with the multi-class tag and Varian only being in it, there's a lot of conversation like, who will the next multi-class hero be? And Captain Adab and company are like, whoa, slow down. Slow down, as Chen says. So... Is it Chen? Or is it just generic like Pandarians?
Slow down.
Yeah. It's a panda.
but yeah, so there's, you know, it just means you were never, it was like a talent experiment, they said, on Varian, and it doesn't sound like there's going to be another multi-class hero. You know, doesn't mean there won't be cool heroes, but there won't be like, they won't get launched as multi-class.
Right.
And Varian won't be called a multi-class hero.
Oh, he won't be called that. What will we call him?
He'll still
him?
Have like a tanking build. Like he'll get tags. So if you think of tags like the way in Steam works, where it's like there's genres that they pick and you can shop from, but then it's like Metroidvania as a tag or, you know.
Right. A game can be mainly an RPG.
Game that makes fun of Gabe Newell because that's like a whole tag.
A game can be like almost all RPG, but there's RTS elements. There's roguelike elements. So they put those other tags in there.
I get it.
Okay.
So there's going to be a role system and a tag system.
So his, for example, Twinblade Varian might be listed as Bruiser incorrect, or he could be listed Tank with the tag correct next to it. To help people that are confused by this.
This is an attempt to insult Twin Blaze. I think maybe the tag you're looking for is maybe his tag was garbage. It's like, you know, Varian is a tank or bruiser, or his roles are tank or bruiser, and then tags are garbage.
Let's keep it positive, Bo. Hot garbage.
Hot and garbage. Are they two tags now, or one tag?
We're having garbage? A laugh, but I think that Twin Blades is pretty good. I was going to say dang good, but dang is TBK's thing. I don't want to take his thing.
No, it's that it's not that it's not good. I think John's thing has always been that it's the wrong choice. not because it's bad, but because it's bad for winning.
Yeah, let's clarify. I love Twin Blade build. I think it's fun. I think it plays well. I think it's cool. But when we play with certain people and they decide, okay, well, we don't have a tank and I'm going to go Twin Blade and just Merc Camp all game, and we lose, and my one thought is, boy, we probably wouldn't have lost if I had felt like we had a tank for any of those encounters we had. That's where my dislike for Twin Blades comes in.
Yeah.
It's just that scenario.
Sure.
It's not that it in and of itself is bad.
Right.
Yeah. And the good news is, because he picks it earlier, you get to be disappointed for more time.
Yeah, look, it's like cats. I don't dislike cats, but the people who own them have ruined them.
Mm.
What?
Yeah, there you go.
All people who've ruined them?
No, the people that come up and they're like, you want to see my fur baby?
Okay. Okay, I'll allow it.
Hey, someone in the chat recommend in the showbot the title "Want to See My Fur Baby." You put that in there, please.
Yeah, I think we're gonna lose a whole bunch of listeners here and fans. They're just like, "Oh, that's it. You brought cats into it. You're done. Good luck, show."
Like, I made it very specific. The only people that are gonna be offended are the fur baby people. And look, you didn't want them on your side anyway.
They're a small, fractured group. It's fine.
You know what? Yeah. I like cats. Cats are great.
No, cats are fine, except they fart a lot. Mine does, and I'm pissed at it.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. My cat won't stop farting. And I know people are like, well, it's the food you're giving him. I've tried multiple different foods. All of them claim to be, oh, these are better on gassy cats. So you get our gassy cat-free deal. And all of them make this cat fart. It doesn't matter. So he'll come up. He'll be purring, nestling up next to me. He'll push up against the book I'm reading or whatever. And he'll go that direction and then just freaking crop dust the room.
Can you pour Pepto-Dismal in his cat bowl?
Dismal.
Whatever. Pepto-Bismal.
Bismo?
Pepto-Dismal. That's I was confusing it with the World of Warcraft item.
Bo thinks it summons pink demons. Pepto-Abysmal.
Yeah, Pepto-Abysmal. I kind of feel that way about it. I don't like taking it. It tastes like really bad gum.
Can't you mix it in with their food and maybe that helps? Cat Pepto-Abysmal?
Is there such a thing? Can I get cat Pepto-Dismal?
Man, cat Pepto-Abysmal is hard to say.
Hold on, cat Pepto. Oh! What?
Pepto-Bismol for cats.
Apparently, you're not the only one with a farting cat.
Yeah, is Pepto-Bismol okay for my cat? Does it work for cats?
Do you go to fartingcats.com? Where is it?
Oh, here it is. A few weeks ago, a client emergency clinic I worked for mentioned she frequently gave her cat Pepto to prevent gastrointestinal upset. This caused... Oh. Yeah, no, you can give it to them and they don't die. It's not toxic to them. I'm getting excited because it's the worst, most toxic farts you have ever. Imagine if you could be down right next to Stitches when he does his ultimate, the poopy one, and you could just wallow in that green goo. That's what this is like every time the cat farts. It's awful.
Farting cats is the best Google search I've ever entered.
Does the cat acknowledge that they did it? Because we had a dog who, if they farted, they would just keep laying there. But if somebody reacted to it, they would turn, look ashamed, and walk out of the room.
This cat doesn't care.
Okay.
He just goes and stays there. He thinks he's still going to get petted and stuff. I'm like, I want to kill you now. I want to murder you after that.
I feel I have to add to this, too. In the top results of farting cats is is an MMO champion forum thread. I'm just like, really? Like, everything's like cat world and pop culture, and then there's an MMO champion thread.
Wow. Why?
That's a weird thing. I guess, like, Warcraft, maybe it's because you play World of Warcraft and on a cat. It might be an intersection of a confluence.
Well, that's what my cat. My cat is leaving a confluence every time he walks past me, and I hate it. What else? Oh,
performance-based match.
They say, oh yeah, we talked about that. They say it's coming. So it's still on the way. Likely introduced at first without repercussions to actual MMR, so they can test it and all that. Yeah. They're aware that mobility creep is a potential issue for the community and using targeted mobility nerfs to help combat their all or nothing counterplay. That seems prudent, because there is a lot of mobility creep right now, don't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of movement-based trickery going on.
Yeah. And screw
those
guys.
It's cool and fun, but also too much of it is not fun.
Right. Maybe just make everybody super mobile. How about that? What if this game just had every character could move around real good?
I guess so.
Everybody in Rock and Roll Race Cars confirmed.
Oh, good. Wait, Rock and Roll Race Cars.
Yeah, they did. Didn't Blizzard make Rock and Roll Racers?
Rock and Roll Racing.
Rock and Roll. Yeah.
That's what threw me off, as you said, Rock and Roll Race Cars. I thought that was.
Well, yeah, that's what they're in. I call them Rock and Roll Race Cars.
Oh, because they're cars that they're in. Right?
Well, because I need to identify the game they're from.
Are you sure in that game those cars weren't sentient and actual the characters unto themselves, or were there people in them?
Like the cars from the movie Cars?
Yeah.
I would like to believe that they are both.
Perfect.
Like Knight Rider.
Right. That's the one. Asmodan, slated for a talent rework in the next few months. Taste for Blood is becoming Asmodan's baseline quest. Ooh. That's cool. Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. He's cool. Heroes 2, it's 2.0 rather, sort of waylaid the gold and gem cost reduction of older heroes, but they plan to start discounting them again, so that's cool. Like to get some cheap deals on that stuff. Varying Colossus Smash and Twin Blades to get health buffs in the future. Taunt has highest pick and win rate.
Seems
to support John's suggestion that is perhaps the way to go, is to taunt.
Weird that you win when you pick taunt variant. That's strange to me.
Weird. I mean, unless you're in a group where you're like, pick a tank and then also somebody can be Twin Blades variant. Like, I get that, right? That works. You could do that.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about here. That's not what people do. They asked a question about Raynor. Developer Brett Cooper says, I gave him a trait. Seems to imply he will be getting one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was my favorite response. It was like, what's going on with Raynor? And then one of the devs is like, I gave him a trait. And that's all the boast is. And I was like, okay, that's an acknowledgement that his trait will change in the future. And we can stop complaining. His trait sucks, because it's coming.
Well, the next thing I'm really happy I'm happy to hear this next one, because I agree with I am basically the dev team on this one. It says here, dev team doesn't have a plan for the three Vikings or the Lost Vikings, but they have confirmed they definitely don't like how they have become XP soak bots. The part I agree with is dev team doesn't have a plan for Vikings. Neither do I. They suck. They're terrible little weirdos. Get rid of them. Take them out of the game. They're dumb.
I like Vikings. So I'm not with you there.
I was looking for a fight. Give me an argument, though, Bo. I don't actually hate them, but give me an argument why people shouldn't.
I mean, if you just find their like voices and stuff irritating, I think that's the point. I think that's the design intention, so it's working. You know, who wants to play? Who wants to listen to a guy go, "Oh, you know, I like lasagna. Let me go fight the hero." Like, you know, it's I can definitely see that irritating some people.
Right.
So you'll get no argument, but it's cool that there's three little units that you got to manage. I like these niche, you know, takes more work, but it's fun to play heroes. Vikings are cool, but
why Swedish guys?
It's not fun for my role to be like, the four of you go do stuff and let me just kill minions here and try not to die to Zeratul. You know, like that's.
Why do these Swedish, maybe not Swedish, but whatever they are, these Scandinavian guys have a thing for lasagna that makes no sense to me?
I just think it's because he's the fat one. I don't think it matters what type of food it is. It's like, okay, we got a skinny one.
Yeah.
He likes to look cool. We got a strong one. And then we got the fat guy. What a fat guy like? Now they like food. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. He's like, I want the casserole and panini.
They were created in a more innocent time, Scott.
Yeah. I guess so. It just seems like the last thing a Viking would eat is something Italy has. I don't know why. They'd rather
they
conquer them.
Italy in this universe.
I think he's got some Garfield, shades of Garfield going on.
In this
He's the Garfield.
He's not grumpy, but in every other way.
Mario does this in Mario 64. If you leave him sitting, he'll fall asleep and he'll have dreams. And he goes, lasagna. Like that.
Spaghetti.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I do too. I'm not a fan.
It's decidedly not weird for Nintendo, who's usually pretty good at just making, you know, taking your drug fueled dream and turning into a video game.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always
assumed he'd like, you know, a deer meat or something. It'd be something just weird and not like, because that's Nintendo. It's weird.
Venison. I've always wanted actual plumber Mario. Like, I don't want this, like, it's a me. I just want, like, yeah, my name's Mario. I'm going to jump on a Goomba.
But before I do, I'm fixing your pipes and you're going to pay through the nose. Like, that'd be great.
Mario, this Nintendo at its best.
All right, Peach, I'll get to you when I get to you. I got a whole lot of castles I got to go through.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Peach is in the other castle. Well, shit. That's what he'd say.
These pipes don't make any sense. This one goes underwater for some reason.
I'm with fish that can kill me. Oi.
We should find a video and just have you replace the VO.
Oh, that'd be great, dude.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Mario.
I think we got a new channel ready to go. Let's get this make. Let's make it happen.
Jumping. Yeah. Woohoo. Oh, my back.
That's a brilliant idea.
Mario I want.
That's a brilliant idea. I love it.
I love it.
That's really good.
Maybe can you be that character now and there will be dungeons?
Every time I do a voice on a show now, people are like, if Stanley dies, that's your new character.
Yeah, that's your new guy.
You're now Mario. You're a plumber in a Mad Max world.
Hey, everybody, I'm going to do a perception check to see if I see anything.
But Bo's going to be tempted to kill Stanley, so you're forced to do it. That's what he's going to do. You have to reroll.
John wouldn't play this Mario character.
I better never die after what I had to do last week.
I was hoping you would die where you were, because the week prior, Bo was like, players can die. I just hope it's a nice, glorious death. And when you were in there, I thought, what if this is where Scott
died? I mean, it's a good thing he didn't shift his weight or something like that. That could have happened.
I thought it was
the one,
so
the one
important.
Regret I have is that the blast from what you got hit with didn't push you into the wall. I think it would have been a torrent of enough liquid to knock you back.
His
at least
pee? Yeah.
I wanted him to just get pulled into a fold.
The reason we're not being specific, listeners, is because A, it's gross. B, listen to the show. There will be dungeons.
Yeah, there will be dungeons every weekend at frogpants.tv at 2... Sorry, 3:30 p.m. my time, which is Mountain Time, or 2:30 p.m. The Pacific. So check that out. Also, a reminder that the Heroes Charity Brawl 2018 is coming right at you, right in your face, right in your eyeballs, on June 2nd at 2 p.m. Pacific. That's a Saturday also. So, you know, lots of you are off work and that sort of thing. And we're doing a Cheerios. Heroes Charity Brawl. Like we have in years past. This is what, third year?
Yeah, third year doing this. Yeah, raising money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's right. It's at GoFundMe.com/Heroes Charity Brawl 2018. That link is not to earn money to have the event. It's to donate to the event. Does that make sense? So I just want so people understand. It's not like if we get to a certain goal, we'll have the event. It's not like that. We're having the event. This is the way you can donate.
But people have already started donating, and I want to give these early birds a shout out, especially Jason Hobson, who put a great photo of himself in the comments, too, which I really liked. You know, this Garibaldi guy, Josh Klimek, Mr. Puma, Leanne Cole for $50. We just announced the damn thing, and we're already $120 down the road.
Yeah, super, super nice. That's awesome.
And, yeah, so we do this every year. We just like to get together, play heroes, and... You know, it's a tax write-off when you donate, right? In the States, that works for you guys?
Yeah, it totally works for us.
Yeah, so, you know, you can toss a little money, a good way to support a good event, and we're going to have Into the Nexus people and Lords of the Storm, people, and we have Heroes Forge this year. And I believe we're okay to say that Jules is going to be joining us as well.
Oh my gosh, two? Are we going to have two? Team. Are we going to have two girls in our?
That's right.
Wow, that's right. That's fantastic. Yeah. We are diversifying, man. That's a great. Jules is a good player too, so I'm excited to have her there. Kristen, of course, and the Heroes Forge folks. It's going to be great. It's going to be a blast. That's the Heroes Charity Brawl right now at GoFundMe.com/Heroes Charity Brawl 2018. And I'll link it on the core site. I forgot to do that. I'll do that today.
And don't, previous years we used heroescharitybrawl.com. If you happen to go there, you can't donate there. There's a link there too to take us to the right page. Just don't donate to past year's pages or anything.
No, if you do that,
2018 when you want.
I mean,
they are not able to, but if you get there and you can't donate, make sure it's the 2018 and not 2017.
Yeah. And if you can't, don't go, oh, I guess it's over and leave. Know that you can still go to the 2018. Is basically what we're saying. Right. GoFundMe.com/Heroes Charity Brawl 2018. Couple quick emails here from the listeners. They sent their emails in to core@heroesforyou.com, and so should you. core@heroesforyou.com. If it's easier, if you go to heroesforyou.com, you can just click on the little contact link up top, and it'll do the same thing, but whatever you're more comfortable with. We are happy to take them. Marty wrote in and says, hi, guys. When Nazebo throws the jars of spiders, they only show up when an enemy is hit. Where do the spiders go? Is it like Schrodinger's cat or something? Is the jar just full of dead spiders sometimes? Zagara's infested drop always spawns roachlings. This really bugs me. Do you guys have similar gripes that aren't really a big deal? Marty.
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 Marty. It's your kids, Marty.
So, let's discuss that for a minute. It is annoying to me. I kind of wish if it missed, the spiders would just flop out dead on their backs or something. Just show me some spiders, you know?
Yeah, I think this is fair criticism. I think this should be fixed.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? The roachlings have their say. Let the spiderlings have their way. That's my...
They're only Schrodinger spiders if they're both in and not in the jar. And we don't know. So we have to consider it both empty and both there. Once the jar is broken and revealed, we have information.
Yeah, this isn't Schrodinger's spiders is wrong. It should be, what's the thing where it never existed? Something's cat, not cat, but something.
It's Schrodinger's cat. And it's like you put a cat in a box.
Right.
But is it there or not there? And so once the box is closed, and I'm probably getting this wrong.
You are,
for
but that's
quantum mechanics, it's considered both. It's both in the box and not in the box because you don't have the information.
That is not correct and will generate emails, but it's fine. It's close enough. It got the idea. Yeah. I like to believe that...
Wait, do you know quantum mechanics?
No, but I know apparently a little more about Schrodinger's cat than you.
Did you Google it while I tried without Google? Is that
No, I Googled it a long time ago because I had a friend who used to talk about it like I knew what it was and I didn't know what it was. So I went home and looked it up.
So what is it? So, John, what's the definition?
I do not want to go down the rabbit hole right now. It's basically, it has to do with whether the cat is alive or dead. It gets
We're not
into
going
the whole
down a rabbit
thing.
Hole.
Yeah, okay, let's
go down Schrodinger's
Let's
hole.
Say that Nazebo has jars that have spiders in it and jars that don't have spiders in it. And it turns out he's like Domino from Marvel and he's just very lucky. So if he hits somebody with it, coincidentally, it always happens to have spiders. And if he misses, coincidentally... It never does.
Right.
So he never wastes a spider.
So you're saying he has empty jars and then jars with spiders, but he never knows which one he's throwing.
Right.
If he hits it, then he's just lucky that it's always a coincidence that it's one of the ones with spiders in it that he threw.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then he's like, oh, because he's so surprised. That's why he's screaming, because he's like surprised at his luck all the time. He's just like, oh my God, I can't believe the way the universe works.
I think they're MacGuffin spiders is what I would refer to them as. They should be in there and they're not.
Let me ask you, what bugs you more? That when it hits the ground, there are no spiders in it, or the idea that he's so lucky that it's coincidentally always ones with spiders in it, that's what...
I still say A. I like our new explanation.
Really? I don't know. It bugs me that it would be that
lucky.
He's a
very lucky Nazebo. The translation at the bottom was, I don't believe it again.
White text, it says, I don't believe
it. I don't believe it again. Yeah, that's fantastic. Well done, Marty. Next up, we got BJ. He says, I've been a longtime Blizzard player, and for some reason in my mid-30s, I wanted to finally check out Heroes of the Storm. I started watching HGC, and it looks great. Looked for some podcasts, stumbled across you guys. Good stuff. Anyway, I'm looking for opinions on how a noob player would fare on tunes like Tyrael or Garrosh. My plan is to tank. Old WoW habits die hard, I guess. Again, love the show, and any opinions are appreciated. Signed, BJ. Billy Jean is what I'm going to think that name is. No, I'm not. All right.
A new player would fare on tunes.
I mean,
where
he wants to tank.
Tunes come from?
Tunes, like you make a tune in World of Warcraft, means make an extra character, make a dude.
It's like your avatar.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why that ever stuck.
No, I know what it means. I'm wondering where it comes from, because it tunes is like, you know how John had a tirade about cats? That's the word tunes does that to me. Anyways. Yeah. So like a good starter tank?
Hold on, here it is. I found it. Okay, sorry.
The etymology of tunes.
Oh my gosh. I should never look at Urban Dictionary.
Is it entomology or etymology? Because one is the study of insects and the other is the meaning.
Etymology is the words. Entomology is bugs. Okay. And I know this because I took a full college entomology course and it was weird.
You took a bug course?
I did. I totally did.
Oddly enough, he thought he was taking a course about the origins of words.
Yeah, but, no, it was bugs. It was actually bugs.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
you know it because he took the bug course and not the word course.
Yeah, the bug course seemed super interesting to me. All right, awesome. Tune, usually referred to as a character in an online role-playing game, also known as an alt or additional character. And then they say later, or something an idiot would say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's
pretty hardcore.
I swear I didn't write that.
No, I mean, this is full of stuff.
Sorry,
like that.
BJ. BJ's
not an idiot. We like BJ.
This one says the term, and I'm not going to use the word they use. But anyway, the term certain somebodies use to describe that they have an alt or a character on an MMORPG. You know how stupid tune sounds. Hey ho, I rolled another tune. Stupid. Apparently, people don't like it.
Did you just look this up on Urban Dictionary? We want to know the origins of the word, not like what.
I think Urban Dictionary is all we got.
All right, here's one. Origin of the term. Oh, this will be great. The Gaming Exchange. Okay. Character is the word old. Okay. Okay. Many RPG players cringe when the word tune is used because they mean character. My character implies a connection with my identity, while my tune is something possessed, disconnected from me. More on the latter. Okay. Tune. 1984 pen and paper RPG is when it started. Okay. Tune books. Okay, Tune is a role-playing game in which the players take on the role of cartoon characters. It came from this. It was first published in 1984 by Steve Jackson Games. Weird. Developed by Warren Spector, of all people.
Weird.
Yeah, that's... I didn't expect this. Did not expect that. That's nuts.
That's quite the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I could read more, but
damn it. I should have said that's quite the Schrodinger's hole.
Oh, Schrodinger's hole.
That might be today's. Scott went up there the other day on There Will Be Dungeons.
Yep, if you want to know more, therewillbedungeons.com. All right. Hey, that's going to do it for the show.
Thank you. Answer his question at all.
Yeah,
I think we should at least acknowledge it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So he wants to play tanks. That's what he wants. I think that's fine. That's a great idea to want to do that. And Tyrael and Garrosh, they're fine tanks. I mean, maybe you should just play those guys.
Yeah, I say play what you're into, especially when you're first getting going. I mean, I wouldn't say that they are necessarily the easiest tanks to learn on. If your goal is learning just the role in general, it may not be the easiest experience for you, but I'm all about saying play what you like, because to me, the door for me getting into Heroes was I'm a huge Sylvanas fan. They put Sylvanas in the game. I played her a little bit and I was like, this is weird and difficult. And then I kept playing until it was not weird and difficult and I was way into it. So
right.
I feel like that's just what you should do.
Stitches is also in the chat room. Someone's recommending that. I hear a lot of people say Stitches is a great place to start. The problem with Stitches is it's not going to match his like idea of what a Warcraft tank is, which is a valiant, warrior of great renown. He's a big, blobby, multiple man Frankenstein Booker. Creature, Booker man. And so I understand why he might, ease away from that. But one of the things, this is going to seem painfully obvious, but I really mean this. Sometimes when I need to get my head around a character, what I'll do is I'll just start playing it and going, all right, well, Q does what? I mean, what's the basics? Okay, it launches that thing. Okay. And I don't pay that much attention to tooltips. I just kind of get the gist of what the kit is and then go. Sometimes that works, but a lot of times if you're trying to really wrap your head around it, hover over those things and really read the tooltips. I'm not even talking about some website or some guide, but just read the tooltips and they'll tell you things that will have your brain go, oh, I see how Q and W could act together. Like, I could see how that would be a combo. Interesting. Okay, this trait behaves how again? Okay, oh, interesting. That means when I W, that kicks the trait off, and then I can, if I'm timing it right, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's, for me, really important to get my head around a character, new or old. So that's one thing I would recommend. Bo, give us, what's a good tip from the Bo?
I think you guys have said good stuff. I just add on to it and say, tanking is the hardest role in Heroes. To do. It's the most responsibility, and you will suffer as a tank. So if you're a World of Warcraft player, so you know
what that's like.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what it's like if you've played with an exceptionally bad pugs, except it's even worse in Heroes because if you're doing it in quick match and I'm just talking about randoms, you're not going to get a lot of good positive reinforcement, and you're not going to feel good a lot of the time.
Right.
Sometimes you'll have really fun games and it'll be great. But your job as a tank is to manage the enemy team for the rest of the team, to protect them, do these things. And they're going to make all kinds of mistakes that might, make it not fun to tank and ultimately not play Heroes. So if you're just quick matching, I'd say don't play tank. Just play whatever's fun. If tanking's fun, do it. But don't set out to be a tank like you might in Warcraft, because you're training for raiding later. But do tank, even if you have one other person to play with in quick match or an unranked to practice, it makes all the difference. Tanking, even with one other person, it makes, if I'm playing myself, I play Genji. If John hops on and we're duoing, even in quick match, and then like, oh, I'll play a tank because then we can coordinate.
Right.
Then what you do is actually like, you're leveraging and getting value out of it, getting dopamine hits for accomplishing sweet moves, even if you lose, which you're going to lose a lot solo queuing as a tank. So the more people you have playing with you, the more fun your tank experience is going to be. And
don't forget, you're not just going to be able to stand there, provide aggro and take hits. Like, that's not how it works.
Any of the tanks, not the bruisers. Find out which ones are the bruisers. We're not going to list them all here, but you can go to Hotslogs and filter by tank or filter by bruisers. Just play all the, when they come free to play, if you're not into buying them, just try them all.
Also, Murden's a good example of one I would try if you're looking for just a kind of a much more pure sort of tank experience. I feel like he, just soaks up so much damage. He's got good self-heal. Like, there's a lot to like about that experience if you're coming from a purely tanking background. So maybe Murden is one to throw into the mix.
They're all good to play and try out if you're starting.
Sure,
right?
He's the one that really got me though. Like, I tried other tanks. Tyrael just confused me and died a lot. Like, early on in the game, and I just couldn't really get my head around those guys, that class, if you want to call it that, until I played Murden and it clicked. And I went, oh, okay, got it. This is what you do with a tank. And that felt better to me. But anyway.
I miss you playing Murden.
I like him. I'll play him anytime. I'll play him tonight. Hell, I don't care. I do what I want. That's going to do it for today's show. And if you'd like to send your own emails in to the show like these guys did, like BJ and Marty did, you can do that. Heroes4you@gmail.com. That's heroes4you@gmail.com. Right? No, that's not the right address. It's core@heroes4you.com. Shite. core@heroes4you.com. Sorry, I'm being dumb. core@heroes4you.com is the address. Use it frequently, and we will read them here on the show. Our Patreon is up and out there at patreon.com/core show. If you value what we do here and you want to see it keep going, that's how you show your love and support for the show. That is patreon.com/core show. And thank you to everyone who already is. heroes4you.com is our website. You can find us online on Twitter at Bo Schwartz for Bo, Scott Johnson for me, and John_Jagger for John. There's also a brand new website up for both the Hero site, or for the Core site and the Frog Pants site. So do not be afraid when you go there. It's all there for you, everything you need, plus some. That's at heroesforyou.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John, and for all of you. We'll see you next time. Stay around. We're going to play games. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.